Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than trying to fit a legal brief into 140 characters or less. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry in studio. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
And Pip is in our satellite studio called The Horde. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Pip is under the weather yet again. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Good. Her ears are a little clogged up. Yeah. fun show tonight. Twitter is getting sued by the spouse of an ISIS terrorist attack. And Charlie Hebdo, the French magazine that got attacked by ISIS last year, came out with a new cartoon. Is it a little too far? Are we being sensitive, Sally's? Or is it just perfect comedy at its best? We'll get into that in a second. I got a couple things on my mind. I don't know what I want to talk about first. Do you want to talk, Joe, about my experiences with the quote-unquote Comedy City set, or my disgust, my aggravation with my daughter's teacher? Which should we tackle?
Discuss with your daughter's teacher.
Okay. My daughter is in what they call the PIE program, which is supposed to be customized to each student's needs. It is not. It never has been since we registered it. Fine. That we hear rave reviews that this guy is a great teacher. Mm-hmm. Seems like a great teacher. Seems like a nice guy. He is a former or frustrated, whatever they call, artist. He's a good artist. I've seen his work in the class, because I guess when you're not in a gallery, in a fifth grade classroom, it's the next best place.
not exactly the Louvre, is it?
No. It's like if you walk down here, Joe, and I got my CD on constant loop of me.
Your world, my CD.
Exactly. Yeah.
Enjoy.
There I am. You got my little CD going. Then when that's done, you got little DVDs of my shows. Just a constant tribute to myself.
Can I ask questions of you as I walk around?
I prefer not. I think the jokes
wallow in my shame.
Yes. But yeah, so he has some of his pictures throughout. He's a good artist. Mm. Fine. Or what do I know about art? I don't know anything about art. But it seems nice enough. Mm. So my daughter gets a lot of homework. In every aspect of the homework, almost every aspect, there's an art component. For instance, she'll have spelling words, and she's gotten 100 on every spelling test. Mm-hmm. But part of the spelling words is she has to, like, draw the word. Everything has drawing. We're always drawing. We're always coloring. I'm tired of coloring. And here's the thing.
But draw the word. Aren't you supposed to? That's what writing is, isn't it? You draw a word.
But draw the picture.
Really?
Yeah.
I got you.
Or they have their little spelling booklets, and they have to decorate every page of the booklet. We have to color it in. There can't be any white. I guess it's the anti-Oscars. I don't know. But I mean, there's all this drawing. And my daughter is very, very detail-oriented when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason was she had this report earlier, and she had to draw an owl. Mm-hmm. So she drew the owl, and he felt that the owl was a little too cartoony. This white snow owl.
Could you stop right here? Is this an art class, or is this a...
No. This is class. She has art class.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yes, she has an art class, although I haven't seen a project from art class this year. But I'm constantly seeing projects, or as we used to call it, homework, from her regular class.
And she had to draw an owl part...
Well, it was part of a project, so she had to draw an owl. I think they were doing something on birds, which is fine. But then he felt that the owl was a little too cartoony and would not accept this owl, and she was very upset about this, so she had to draw another owl, which was exceptional, but it took hours to do.
I would definitely have a problem. Look, my daughter's not an art major. She's a little kid in the school. Here's your owl. There you go. Okay? I don't have time for my daughter to draw a detailed owl.
Well, we've brought this to his attention. His reasoning is, well, we want to work both sides of the brain, which I understand. You know, you have the creative side and you have the analytical side. I understand that, but there's a time and a place. Unfortunately, my daughter is a little bit like me when it comes to math. It does not come easy. Mm-hmm. Math has always been a struggle for me.
Same with me. So I know what you go through. Yeah.
Right.
So, not my strong suit.
Well, because we're not Asians. I don't know. But I'm a Jew, so I should be able to pull it off. But no, I'm kidding. Oh, stereotypes. They're fun and true.
But I am Asian.
I didn't know that about you. Yeah. I knew the name was a bunch of malarkey. I didn't know the picture was, too. We don't know you at all, Pippi.
You don't know know what unplumbed depths I have.
I don't want to talk about your depths.
And then being unplumbed.
Yeah, that's a family radio show, you animal. But my daughter has a test tomorrow on math. Doesn't come easy. Very often, it seems like my wife is reteaching math to my daughter where she doesn't learn. So I'll give you an example. So before the show, my daughter does her homework. My wife's not home. What are you doing? I have to draw this cartoon. It's a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. I don't even know what the assignment's about. I go, don't you have a test tomorrow? She's like, yeah, but I have to do this. This is due tomorrow too. I go, I don't care if you draw or not. And I've said this time and time again. I go, and you can tell your teacher, and I'll tell your teacher. I don't care about the cartoon. You need to know how to do these fractions, and I can't help you with these fractions.
I talked to the principal. I go, I got my daughter here trying to learn math, and she's got to draw an owl? Are you kidding me? She's not an art major. She's a little kid that needs to learn math skills.
Yes. Yes. I'm constantly saying, I don't care. Stop coloring. Because my daughter is, and she doesn't want to disappoint her teacher, and my daughter is so detail-oriented that it takes forever to color. I'm going to give away a little secret here. Sometimes, because it gets so late, because my daughter's working so hard and so slowly at this, the wife goes, go upstairs, take a shower, and she finishes the coloring. My wife is doing excellent in fourth grade coloring.
Oh, great.
We lost Pip.
Yes. Either that or it's my brain scan. Anyway, you need to speak to the principal. You need to speak to the principal and go, I don't want my daughter wasting time on drawing an owl when she's having a problem struggling at math. What's more important? She needs to learn the basics of school. If she wants to learn art later, then that's fine. But she needs to learn the basics. And a lot of people complain that they're not teaching the basics in school nowadays.
Well, I mean, he looks at it as like he's preparing them for the middle school, which is the fifth grade. But you know what? I go, you don't need to learn how to color.
No. When we were in that age, they were preparing us with middle school, but they were learning us more advanced English.
Apparently not well, Joe.
They were teaching us more advanced English.
You know what? Why don't you take some pencils and color over there? This English is not serving you well.
Why don't you draw a jackass and call it self-portrait? But anyway.
All right. Well, at least you have humor.
They were teaching us the skills, the math skills, the English skills to get to junior high, to get to the higher level. They weren't, I mean, if you were talented as an artist, yeah, you'd be in art class, maybe in an advanced art class, but that was during the art portion of your day.
Yes, I like that the fact that they have art and music. I'm very happy about it. There's a time and a place.
But it's the basic skills. You know, so you need to speak to the principal about that. That's a very big concern, especially when the little girl. I mean, you know, especially there's so much on kids nowadays that they're staying up late hours to get their schoolwork done. I mean, heck, you know, people that have day jobs that bring their work home, wrap it up by 11 o'clock. That's a regular adult day job. You got these kids.
No, I mean, we don't let her work till 11 usually. But I mean,
there is a chance that's too late for a little kid. They should have this homework wrapped up by 8 o'clock.
Well, I mean, but part of the problem is my daughter's a very slow worker when it comes, but it just has to.
But some people work at different things. But you know, if you explain to the teacher that your daughter is detail oriented, and this little kid is staying up, you know, late trying to draw this owl.
Well, that was just one of them. She's drawing other things too.
Yeah.
She's always drawing things. But when it's part of a report,
right? It's part of a report. Yeah, it's something that it needs more precedence on.
Yeah, when it's part of a report, fine. When it's part of your spelling homework, I don't care so much.
Right, right, right.
You know, and she's a good speller. I just care that you spell the word. I'm constantly telling her, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Do the important stuff.
Yeah.
It's part of time management.
You know, and as a matter of fact, that's what you got to stress to the teacher. You know, that if she doesn't get an owl or a porcupine or whatever she's drawing, it's because I'm learning her time management. She needed to get to these skills first.
Well, he wants them to take pride in their work, which I'm all about. But we don't have to color for spelling and math.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Well, the other thing is, it's like if you were teaching, and you were teaching English, you're not going to start grading the kids on how funny their reports are you?
Maybe. I might.
Because you're a comic, and you would.
No, it's because I'm a jerk.
What's that?
No, I would not. If I'm teaching one subject, if I'm teaching English literature, I'm not worrying about joke structure.
Right, exactly. But to that effect, though, it would be the same thing if you were like this guy that's now teaching a class where you might be more concerned with that, which I get a funny feeling he is due to the fact that he is an artist.
I tend to agree with you. Okay, guys, you are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, Twitter is being sued due to a terrorist attack. Should they be? Hang out. Come back. Don't go anywhere. And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Very interesting lawsuit has been filed, Joe and Pip. So Twitter is supposedly on the hook for what terrorists are doing. I want to read what's going on, then we can discuss it. I think it's kind of fascinating. Could set an interesting precedent. So this is the story about it. Twitter, quote, knowingly permitted the Islamic State to use a social network to spread extremist propaganda. A lawsuit was filed in federal court. The complaint was brought by the widow of a government contractor killed in a terrorist attack in Jordan. Quote, without Twitter, the explosive growth of ISIS over the last few years into the most feared terrorist group in the world would not have been possible, claims the lawsuit. The terrorist group, which controls areas of Syria and Iraq, utilizes social media to recruit members and spread its extremist interpretation of Islam. Companies like Twitter have come under increased pressure, as we know, to do something about this, to watch what's going on. So the lawsuit was filed by Tamara Fields in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. And they claim Twitter has enabled ISIS to carry out numerous terrorist attacks, including a shooting rampage that left her now-deceased husband Fields, Lloyd, that was his name, last name Fields, first name Lloyd, was killed in the cafeteria of a police training center in Jordan on November 9th of this past year. And the Islamic State took responsibility. They've also taken responsibility for the death of Glenn Frey. Field seeks a compensation and for the judge to enter declaring that Twitter is violating the Anti-Terrorism Act, which allows U.S. nationals to collect damages if they are injured by an act of international terrorism. Here's a quote from it. While we believe the lawsuit is without merit, this is from Twitter, we were deeply saddened to hear of his family's terrible loss. We have teams around the world actively investigating reports of rule violations, like going over more than 140 characters, identifying violating conduct, partnering with organizations countering extremist content online, and working with law enforcement when appropriate. Those steps don't go far enough, according to the lawsuit. Twitter has refused to take, quote, meaningful action to stop ISIS from using its services. The lawsuit points to a report that claims one pro-Islamic state group was able to have 335 accounts on the social network. That's a lot of tweeting. So it's against Twitter's policy to make threats of violence or promote violence, including threatening or promoting terrorism. Social network regularly suspends accounts, including at least 1,000 accounts between September and December of 2014. As we know, Twitter has come under fire, though, because they're not stopping everything or online harassment. Tech companies are, as we know, generally do not want to work too closely with the government because of privacy and security concerns. But Silicon Valley executives met with counterterrorism officials, and we know they're working. They're trying to come to an understanding, as the U.S. government wants to find ways to make it harder for terrorists to use platforms like Twitter and Facebook. Twitter says, of course, they were horrified by what's happened. So that's the gist of it. So I want to throw this out there. In a law, when you file a tort, and that's what this is, that's what this type of lawsuit is, I believe it's a tort because it's a personal injury. I'm assuming that's where it's going, or wrongful death, maybe. I think that's where they're going to go with it. Let me explain this. It's where there is an assumption of risk, so the person who is harmed assumes a risk, and therefore the defendant might not be liable or not liable as much. It could be percentages. So by working in this region with the police, and we know the police in these countries are frequent targets, did her husband, the American contractor, assume some of the risk?
Yes, he did. The tweets that they have, obviously the tweets that are coming out are absolutely horrible. But here's the deal. We believe the lawsuit is without merit. Now, on that, there was that risk in that area. Also, here's a key thing in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Were their tweets directly related to that incident? That would be the key thing. I mean,
like saying we're going to attack.
Yes.
Like a warning?
Or a warning or a celebration tweet or something like that. That would have a direct correlation to that one
incident. Well, ISIS claims responsibility all the time. But how do you prove it? I mean, a lot of times they're just puffing out their chest and we don't know if it's really them.
Right. But on that, would you think if ISIS, you know, tweeted praise on that, do you feel that they would be responsible for that?
Do I feel Twitter would be responsible? Well,
Twitter would be responsible for that.
Do I personally feel? No.
In the
No, I don't. I don't. And this goes against my desire for more gun laws, but Hillary has put out there that she feels gun manufacturers should be liable when crimes are committed with guns. I don't feel you should be committed if somebody you. I don't think you should be liable if somebody's using your tool or your platform. I think it sets a real bad precedent.
If you see that. But if you do see that, don't you have a responsibility to take that down?
Well, Twitter says they do. Twitter says they do take it down.
But if there's proof that in this instance that they did not, do you? And like I said, it would have to be based on.
I don't think
the incident.
But again, writing something is not the same as going in and killing people. A lot of people put on stupid stuff online that they're never going to do.
But you're taking.
And there's been no evidence of this, by the way. What you're assuming?
Okay, right. No evidence of. I'm not being precise. No evidence of what?
That there was a specific tweet about this specific attack.
Right.
She has a general lawsuit that Twitter is not doing enough.
Okay, that I don't think is going to hold water, okay? It would have to be, in my opinion, and you were in law, it would have to be something direct, a tweeted statement directly to that incident.
Then there would be the question, does Twitter have some sort of responsibility to warn the authorities? I think that's different. But we're not seeing about a specific threat here. This is general, like, hey, Twitter and Facebook, social media, they're allowing these terrorists to commit. They're allowing these terrorists to spread propaganda. That seems to be the gist of this suit. Pip?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like there is a responsibility for Twitter in general to back up their own terms of service, and that they're not supposed to be letting them propagate plans for terror. However, I agree with what Joe was saying, that it doesn't seem to hold water that you can do something about anybody saying things in general about terror unless it has to do with this specific incident. And it is something, I mean, you know, in general law, there's always where you're a part of the conspiracy. Now, if it was part that you could trace it back to a specific conspiracy against this particular, you know, person, this particular attack, then yeah, if it was like that specific, but I doubt that they're going to find that. So this seems, you know, like a spurious lawsuit.
I think what you'll see is they might be able to find a tweet, and who knows who it was attached to, celebrating this. But I don't think you're going to find, hey, tomorrow we're going to go into this Jordan police station and kill somebody. I don't think they're going to find that. Mm. And even if you do find that, I mean, you could report it, but who knows who reports it? Who knows if it gets to the right place? Yeah, I mean, how can you stop it? I mean, there's so many threats going on in the world. You can't stop everything.
Right, but what you do is, I guess they're meeting as well. Silicon Valley executives met last week with counterterrorism officials to discuss combating terrorism online. That would be a step where you need to sit down in a symposium like that and find guidelines to make a start to try to police and try to maybe ID group certain patterns of groups making these tweets.
The question is, do you want the government coming in there and telling these private companies what to do and what they have to do and give us your records?
It's a fine line between freedom of speech and also a fine line of protecting, you know, our citizens.
I don't want them doing it. I want these companies to work with the government, but I don't want the government to have the overreach to just do it themselves. And Jeb Bush said if he could, he would do that.
But you want to know something? If they're tweeting, it would be something that the authorities could look in on and be proactive.
We don't know all the details, but you got to assume if there seems like to be a real threat that they are passing it on.
Yeah,
we know that Facebook has worked with the military. And in a way that we were not happy with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, all these social media, the muckety-mucks and all these social media companies are meeting with people in the government. They're trying to find out a way to keep us safe without losing their privacy and security.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I think if the government is just allowed to have willy-nilly at all Facebook's records or all Twitter's records, I think it kills the businesses. I think if you make Twitter or Facebook liable for what other maniacs, animals do, it kills the business. Now they're liable for everything. Where does it stop?
Yeah, that's true. Once they get that, they would be like, you know, it blames the Twitter for the rise of ISIS. It's stuff that they're tweeting, but, you know, thousands, millions of people tweet on Twitter every day. I do believe that the government should look in on these tweets, find patterns of certain groups tweeting certain things, and investigate them. As a matter of fact,
I'm sure they are, though.
Exactly, and that's a good thing. Maybe you want it that way, where the where you could keep your eye on things more so than if you got rid of it. If you got rid of it, you lost a channel of investigation. Where if you keep tweeting, as long as you're being proactive to look in on these groups, it's kind of a thing that might be an important tool.
I think the petition I started on change.org, where I wanted these companies like Facebook and Twitter to voluntarily stop providing their service in these countries where terrorism is abound, like Syria, like Iraq. I think that's the best way to go about
it. Right, right, right.
You agree?
Yes.
Pip, you agree?
I still don't agree with that.
Well, we'll have to leave
it. I think that you're taking away the opposite voices, the voices of the oppressed people in those countries when you just blanket say, this country, no tweets for you.
Yep. Listen, it's a privilege. When you make wine, there's going to be squished grapes. All right, you are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Joe found an elusive dinosaur. We'll tell you what it was. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Joe, over the weekend, you found something that I thought was extinct, but it's not.
I have found the record store.
I thought they were good. I wasn't like Sam Goody the last one.
Sam Goody, but
Tower Records.
Yeah, but the deal is, I'm old school in the respect.
No, you're just old.
No, I'm still young at heart. But I'm old school in the respect that I download music off of iTunes and so forth, but I like to get a CD. I like to have a copy of a CD. Have the knowledge that if something goes wrong, I have a backup of something. I also have a booklet, liner notes, who the people are in a band, who the road crew are, who is the engineer. I'm a musician.
Care about the engineer?
Yeah, I'm a musician. I like to know that stuff. It's the whole experience.
You care about the road crew?
Yeah.
I mean, I like having the CD myself, but I really don't care who the guy is who's picking out chicks for the lead singer. I don't need to know his name.
But as a musician, you want to know that stuff.
You're never going to be that
really
big.
I really want to know that.
Yeah.
Why? You need him to pick you out chicks too?
It's just an old school thing. Look, you got 10 years. You're 10 years younger than us. There was something about getting a new album.
Yeah, but look, I got all those CDs. I keep buying CDs.
I understand that, but there's just nothing of that experience looking through the booklet. You know, it was the booklet, like back in the day, is pretty much the same experience as the CD itself. So there was a band that came out. I'm a heavy metal fan. There's a heavy metal magazine called Classic Rock Magazine where they were talking about this band for the past year. I've been reading about them. They're called Baby Metal. And what Baby Metal is thrash metal with a Japanese pop sound sung by three Japanese girls that with choreography in the show. So I finally said, you know what, let me check this out. So
I believe the quote was, "This rocks" by Hello Kitty.
Yes. But I checked out the video, and I go, this rules.
It does not. Yeah. I saw it. It does not rule.
It's really, I think it's really good. So basically what I did, there's two independent record stores that I would know that would have this.
So they have a lot of odds and ends.
They have a lot of odds and ends.
Things you don't find in Best Buy.
Because that's the thing. That's what these stores specialize in. So I go out.
New stuff, too?
New stuff, too. But these would have something as eclectic as this. So I go to the first store.
Let me ask, before you do this, did it cross your mind to just order it online?
No, because I wanted the CD.
No, but I mean to order the CD.
Yes.
Did that cross your mind?
Well, no, because I wanted to see if I can get it. Today, that day,
okay.
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday.
So you're willing to pay more, theoretically.
I'm willing to pay more and go find it. So I go out to the first place, and I'm looking for it. And the guy in his first record store was very friendly. And he goes, well, we don't have it. Do you want me to order it? And I'm like, no, I could really do that. So
you can.
I go. All right, let me go to a record store. The other record. So the only other one really on Long Island that might have this. And I go in, and people wonder about the record store. And the problem with record stores back in the day, and apparently now, is that people work in record stores have an attitude. They just have an attitude like and there was these two hipsters in here, and you know, and it's like, hi, you know, and it just seems that they judge you and they just look at you,
you seem to get judged wherever you go, though.
But no, but especially in record stores, because that's the attitude that these guys have. They always did.
Really?
Yeah. It's like when my record used to skip. I would bring the record. I go, look, my record's skipping. It plays fine in the store. Okay, I'll go to my house and move into the store because in my house there's a problem. I want another record. Okay. So I go up to the guy, and there's these two hipsters with beards, bald heads and stuff like that with beards. And I go, excuse me. I go, do you have the new Baby Metal album? The what? The new Baby Metal album. And the guy just looks at me and goes, no. And I'm like, okay, do you want me to order it? No, I could do it myself.
Well, at least they're trying to help you.
Yeah, you know what, though? Look up when you're talking to me. I'm a customer. Look up.
Oh, so that was
Don't look down. These two hipsters, it looks like they should be running a still instead of a record store. And the funny thing is, you're on your last legs as a record store anyway. I would be catering to me any way I could. I would look up. Can I help you? Come over. If I'm in the aisles looking for a record, hi, can I help you? What are you looking for today? You're a small business owner in a business that is starting to dwindle down.
Starting to dwindle down? It's on its last gasp. Well, I didn't know that these things existed.
The specialty stores. Do you still have that small niche? But you're a niche store. You know, you're like a boutique store.
They? If they won't provide Japanese prepubescent death metal, how dare they call themselves a record store?
Well, you know, that's right. So you know what happened?
You downloaded it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, the man wants his Japanese girls. All right, you're listening to David's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, Pip has an issue with commercials. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Coming up, we will discuss did Charlie Hebdo go too far with the cartoon. But right now, Pip is upset about commercials. Is that right, Pip?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You know, I've spent a little too much time watching television the last few days because I was sick.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, there's this new trend on television to be showing a lot of toilet paper ads that are talking about how clean you can get yourself with their toilet paper.
Well, it's kind of their job.
Yeah, that's what it does.
That's really what they're selling there, dear.
Well, you know what? I have no problem with that. Now they seem to have stepped over one step into the beyond where they're talking.
Hold on!
One step into the beyond.
Is this a black hole, that beyond? What are we talking about here? It's a change.
But.
I smell what you did there.
Yeah.
Thank you. But then now they're going into, there are the cute little Charmin bears.
Sure.
They're obsessed with, you know, does a bear go in the woods? Well, yeah, we know, because they're on TV every 2 minutes.
I like the fact that she says upset, like they're obsessed, like they have a neurosis.
Yeah. I've got to know!
Particular toilet paper gets you so clean you could wear your underwear twice. Who the hell does this?
Wait, what? You can wear your...
Yeah.
Well, actually, guys do. Young guys do.
No.
Yes.
Young guys are disgusting.
Yeah, sure, they do the
sniff test. We were young guys, yes.
Yeah, sure, they do the sniff test and away we go.
Yeah.
Why would you do this?
Because we don't like to do wash.
That's true.
That's why we would do that.
That's right. The sniff test. It's like, you know, whatever's on the floor and whatever smells nice, it's in.
I'd like to see these bears sniffing the underwear.
Yes.
Oh, no. You know what? From your lips to the commercial's ears.
The commercial's ears? You must have one of the new TVs.
They'll be having these little bears sniffing their underwear to check, did I use enough Charmin when I was wearing those? It's disgusting.
So that's your beef?
Well, part of the beef. The other thing is that now the other part of the nasty commercial trend for toilet paper is that Cottonelle keeps grabbing people and asking them, do they think that they're clean enough to go commando? I don't want to think about this.
But again, if you're young and dating, these are things you need to know. Right?
I'm not young and dating. I don't want to know how fresh somebody's butt is, or their underwear could be used again, or if they're going to be able to wear white jeans. Ew!
But it could be if you use their product.
Yeah. We've already established on this show, you're an animal. You'll pee where you sleep. Other people are not like you.
Yeah. They should have a Cottonelle commercial with you with sheets.
Yeah.
And it started debuting you.
100 thread count ain't going to be enough. We need burlap for this now.
Burlap.
You know, in the hospitals and things, they call those pads that they lie under incontinent patients chucks.
Yeah.
Most people don't need to know about these.
Well, maybe you should worry about it. Maybe there's people that are walking around with dirty Levi's.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much. I don't think that there's anything wrong about being real on television. You know, show as many feminine products as you have to, but you really don't have to, like, show things that are like, oh, sniff, could I use this again? Ew.
Well, it's no different than the Pampers commercial when they had the two little kids, when baby wets. You know,
don't they have like those baby commercials where like parents like put the kid's rear end to their face to sniff it?
I think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not particularly fond of those either.
Yeah.
Pip, you need to understand the rest of us are a lot more concerned with Dookie than you are.
Yes, that's right. It's a major concern.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is that everybody else is far more fascinated with this. I'm trying to avoid these situations.
Well, no. I mean, the rest of us are taking precautions. We kind of wish you would.
Underwear.
Did you ever think stinky britches, that if you were a little cleaner, maybe you wouldn't always be sick? Maybe you need to get one of those Charmin bears. Use him to powder your butt with.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not really sure where you're going with this. Are you saying that maybe if I allowed a little bit more bacteria, I'd have more of a buildup?
No. I'm saying if you were a little cleaner, if you grab one of these Charmin bears and you put them back there, clean you might feel a little better. These bears are at your disposal.
You know what? Maybe people should start wiping with these bears and start getting cleaner.
If they don't bite me, I'd love to. They look soft and cuddly.
Yeah, except for their claws, which will hurt.
That's to get those hard-to-reach spots, Joe. All right. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, Charlie Hebdo's latest antics. Last segment of the program. Davin's Den filling in for Coffee Talk, and we're going out with a bang. Because Charlie Hebdo, the famous French magazine that was attacked last year by ISIS, known for having very provocative cartoons, they're at it again. They came up with a cartoon that suggests Alan Kurdi. Alan Kurdi was the 3-year-old Syrian boy who drowned last year. Remember, you guys see those pictures where he washed up on shore, Pip?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Delays. And also, I don't know if you guys knew this, but besides him drowning, his mother and his 5-year-old brother, they were trying to reach Greece by boat, but they did not make it. So the cartoon shows Alan Kurdi washed up on shore, but then it shows, well, maybe if he'd grown up, he would have been one of the sexual offenders in Europe had he lived. And critics, as you can imagine, have denounced the cartoon as xenophobic, while defenders say it's meant to be a satirical twist on reactionary anti-migrant rhetoric. So the cartoon says, what would little Ilan become had he grown up? And then they use an alternative spelling of Alan's name, a molester in Germany. That's what the cartoon says. So the boy drowned in September along with his brother, as I said. The only one to survive was the father. The aunt, Alan's aunt, Tima Kurdi, says she hoped to sponsor her relatives to come to Canada. So on Tuesday, Kurdi told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation she found the Charlie Hebdo cartoon, quote, disgusting. She said, I hope people respect our family's pain. It's a big loss. We're not the same anymore after this tragedy. We're trying to forget a little bit and move on with our life. But to hurt us again, it's not fair. And this is the third time Charlie Hebdo has referenced Alan's death in a cartoon. Each time the magazine has divided readers into those who see the publication as tastelessly mocking the boy's death and those who think it's satire and shows the West's hostility to the migrant crisis. So that's basically the gist of it. Real quick, off the top. Joe, funny? Funny cartoon?
I would say it's provocative more than funny.
I'm asking funny. Funny?
Not funny.
Pip, funny?
Not funny.
I agree. Not funny. Not funny. Big thing I look for in a joke. Funny. Not
but,
my act.
But sometimes funny and edgy comedy is supposed to be thought-provoking.
But here's the thing. When you're doing thought-provoking, you have to weigh... is the joke going too far? Is it worth the hurt it may cause?
Right, but they didn't reference the child's name exactly. They referenced a different...
But that was such an iconic picture. Such an iconic picture of that little boy drowned, washed up on... Everybody knew what it was.
Now, my question is this. They showed the actual cartoon of him, what if he grew up. Now, did they at all show or reference a cartoon of that soldier pulling that dead boy out of the water?
Well, not in this cartoon.
In any other cartoon.
I don't know. I haven't seen
that. That's the key thing.
No, I think we judge each cartoon individually.
Okay.
I want to just judge this cartoon on this picture.
Then I don't think they went too far.
You don't think they went...
I don't think they went too far because they're pointing out... They didn't use his name directly. They're also pointing out the hypocrisy of, you know, somebody growing up to being a molester. With a stereotype that's been assigned to these people.
You can do that without the image, the drawing of a dead child.
But they're not showing a dead child. Oh, they showed it on. Okay, you know what? That's my mistake. Okay, no, I didn't see that.
Okay.
All right, So let's backtrack on that.
Well, you can backtrack.
They overstepped their bounds because they did put the circle of the child. I didn't see that. I stand corrected on that. If with that on there, it is offensive and it does not belong on there. If they did not include that, then there would be nothing wrong with it.
That's a completely different thing if they didn't include that.
All right, so let's go back. Okay, then it's wrong. I retract. I didn't see that on the left hand.
If my daughter had colored it, you would have.
She may have got a better grade at math.
No, I don't think that's there, Joe. I don't think that's she would have got a better grade at math, you moron.
But yes, that's not
that's
good.
Really saying something because normally Joe would, but and I take it you were offended, Pip.
Children. However,
and the feeling's mutual from what I've heard.
You're this poor little baby. I mean, 3-year-old, that's a baby. And that picture of this deceased child, I mean, I'm starting to get all succumbed right now thinking about it. It's so horrible. It's such a horrible resonating image. And to make fun of that, no.
I think it says something.
Joke too soon.
Pip, hold on. I expected that reaction from you. I pretty much figured we were going to get that reaction from you. I think it's too far, and usually I'm like, well, you know, do whatever the heck you want. But to get that reaction from Joe, who would love to call us a bunch of oversensitive liberal wussies, that tells you how offensive that cartoon is.
Now, do you feel if they did not have that cartoon of that dead child... Okay.
If they're not referencing the dead kid, go for it.
Okay, yeah. Now, like I said, I didn't, because the picture is so horrible, you never pass at math in your child's school. But but then it was pointed out to me, yes, the overstepped their bounds, absolutely.
You know, I think at this point we've left humor, and I think this is just shock comedy. You know, you see this in the clubs, Joe, not good clubs, but you see these people like doing dead baby jokes.
Yeah.
They're just trying to shock the audience and they're not funny.
So
I think that's where we're at with them.
Yeah. And the problem is if you're trying to make, you know, a point about hypocrisy on maybe a stereotype, you totally lost any part of the message you're trying to send by showing the cartoon of the dead child.
Yeah, you kind of do lose the message because now all we're doing is focusing on the dead child.
Yeah.
You're right.
Exactly.
So I think this was done as shock. If I'm the publisher, I'm going, no. Listen, we're all about free speech. We're all about talking about topical things. But, you know, no. This is not a good cartoon. It's not worth it. We're not making a statement. We've already done two cartoons with the dead kid. Enough.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, as an editor on that, I mean, how stupid can you be you know, because
well, they did it on purpose, Joe. But this was calculated.
But it's stupid. And if something and anybody that you know says that they're part of being, you know, is satire.
I don't think it's satire.
It's not satire when they put that in there. But if you're claiming that your publication is satire and you put that in there, you don't have an idea of satire or how to present satire in a way where you'll getting your point across without anything detracting
from it.
Here's the key:
satire has to have a point, and it has to be funny.
Right.
That is satire. that's the key.
The name of the game.
And we will leave out the discussion with that. We got to wrap this show up. Pip, anything to promote?
No, not this week.
All right. Well, we got live comedy Thursday, January 28th in Newburgh, New York at the River Grill. For tickets, call 845-561-9444. 845-561-9444. Saturday, January 30th, I'll be performing somewhere in Parsippany. I don't know exactly where yet.
I have those shows. Yeah. You're somewhere, you don't know where.
Exactly. So you go to the Davin's Den Facebook page to find out where I'll be. I'll put that up. Also, you can hear the whole show uncensored, davinsden.com. And you could follow us, the show on Twitter at Davin's Den. Joe, is that about all?
That's about all.
If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.